Hello, my friends. Welcome into this week's episode of Forte Catholic. I'm so glad that you are here today. We've got a brand new episode for you this week after taking a very rare break for us with a replay last week. Life has happened, and we talk about it in today's episode with Father Anthony Sciarrapa. We had talked about in our last couple episodes how Lent was going pretty well, and then Lent absolutely happened to me. There's lots of suffering and lots of trials and tribulations going on. We talk about that. To kick off the show, we jump right into it. And then, like we always do here on the show, right after we talk about something difficult, we play a silly game. So we play a brand new game. It's called a scale game. No, it doesn't involve me telling you how much I weigh these days. But it's been on TikTok. We try it out. I don't know how well it goes. You'll either love it or hate it, and you'll have to let me know, I guess. And then to close out the show, we do something that we don't often do here. We dive into some deep theology about the Eucharist in particular, the accidents and the substance of the consecration of the bread and the wine as it becomes the body and blood of Jesus. So this show runs the gamut dealing with real stuff, some theological questions, and a very silly game. So as always, both on YouTube and in the show notes of the podcast, you can always jump around and listen to the segments you want. Don't listen to the ones you don't want. I don't really care. Lent has happened. Hope yours is going better than mine. Enjoy today's show. Hello there, and welcome to Fuente Catholic. I am Taylor Scholl. That is Father Anthony Scaramucci Sciarrapa. Hello, priesty boy.
Hello, General Scholl. How are you doing?
Did you say General Scholl?
Yes. I mean, it's kind of like your whatever.
Aye, aye, Captain. Oh, man. So, we're just going to get right into it. Life sucks these days.
It does tend to do that every once in a while.
Yeah. I was all happy about when Lent was starting. I was like, you know, life's pretty good. You know, it's been long reported here on the show that the last few Lents, I didn't choose anything because Lent chose me, you know, like
yes.
there was enough suffering. And going into this Lent, I was like happy. I was like, I can choose something. And I did choose mm-hmm. something. And then 3 weeks in, Lent chose me again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it does that sometimes.
So,
have you given up the thing now that you're doing now that Lent is kicking your butt?
I have not. I'm sticking with it. I'm trying to be a good person. I am trying so hard to be a good person, and I think that's part of the issue. I think if I just went back to like my normal self, the not as good self, things would be a lot better. But I think it's because I'm trying to be a good person that everything is difficult these days.
Awesome.
So, you know how like we all wear a bunch of hats, right? Mm-hmm. So like, you know, I'm going to list some of your hats. You tell me some of the hats that, I mean, I know you pretty well, but there's probably some I don't even know about, right? But like, you're a sacrament dispenser, you're a homilist, you're an associate pastor, you're a brother, you're an uncle, you're a son. Those are some of the obvious ones. What are some of the least obvious ones that we wouldn't know about?
Discount therapist. whipping boy.
Are you a discount therapist because you're not very good or because it's free?
yes.
Catholic both and. There you go.
Yeah. You know, it's one of those weird things. Like, I do like pastoral counseling and it's good as far as it goes, but a lot of times I'm like, So you should see someone who's like a professional at this thing. Like I can give you decent advice in a spiritual context and that can be helpful. But a lot of times it's like, but it's hard to find someone who can, one, who's willing to listen to you and two, who actually is a good therapist. Because unlike sacraments, this is one thing I'm learning, is that sacraments happen no matter how bad the priest is, as long as you say the words. Therapy doesn't happen unless you have a good therapist and that can be frustrating. Like if they're bad, then it doesn't work, you know? Yeah, what else? A buyer of black pants. Yeah, that's about it. I think those are all my hats.
Okay, I wear a lot of hats, and typically in my life, I'm able to like I've always worn a lot of hats. So like both metaphorically and literally, right? To cover up the lack of certain things on my hair on my head. Mm-hmm. But metaphorically, I've always worn a lot of hats, and typically, It's like I only have to wear a few in a day. Like I might own 25 metaphorical hats and be pulled in the directions of those 25 metaphorical hats, but I only have to put on like two or three every day. Recently, I have been asked or required to put on every hat that I own. Mm-hmm. And no matter what hat I put on, a new person gets angry at me or I fail at a task wearing that hat. It's going swimmingly. And I'm going to reveal something about behind the scenes of a show. Literally right behind the scene that you are seeing right now of me. Even my hats are falling apart. This actual hat that I wear for every single recording is broken in the back because my head's too big.
What a reveal.
It's a big reveal. I've been wearing a hat that doesn't close in the back for a year because even my hat doesn't want to be on my head.
That's amazing.
Oh, it's been a trial. I'm going to, we'll dive into some of it. There's a lot going on, but there's one that I think is most emblematic of how, like, I just cannot catch a break. So I've shared on the show, I don't know your listening patterns these days. I don't know if you listened to the show in the last week or the last year. And that's, your prerogative. Do whatever you want, right? But I have shared with the listeners who love me and care about me that were you aware that my catalytic converter on my Toyota was stolen? Is this
yes, yes. Okay. I think it's through other social media means or our own conversations, but I was aware that it got stolen.
So, car got stolen. That's the old news, right? 3 weeks go by, and we finally get it. You know, long story short, they told me it could take 2 weeks to 52 weeks to get a catalytic converter because it'd be stolen faster than they can make them. So, everything's taken care of. The insurance pays for it. I have a $100 deductible. I paid $150, $100 for a rental car to get there. I had to pay $120 for a rental car to get back to go get my car. So, even though insurance covered it, I'm still out $500 because someone decided to steal something from me. Like I was still robbed, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And then I'm like, okay. The saga's finally over. I do not have time. I do not have time to miss work. Track season has started. I'm already like my days are shorter. I do not have time to miss a day, but the only day I can go is a Friday. And I have, 8 hours of editing to do and track practice. I'm just going to miss both of them. I'm just going to miss the editing. I'm going to miss track practice. I have to drive up to Dallas, which is a 3 hour drive back 3 hours, get my car. So that's what I do. I get a rental car. Drive up to Dallas. Everything's fine. I drop the rental car off. I walk about a quarter mile over to the dealership. Car's fine. Pay the $100. I get the keys. My car, my Prius is back to sounding like a Prius, means it makes no noise at all until you turn it off. And then it's like, but that's normal, right? It's making the normal noises. I mentioned it's a 3 hour drive home. I drove 2 hours. Okay. And then as I'm driving the Prius, it was a windy day. But there wasn't like gusts. But like when I was like walking from the car rental to the car dealership, like I was kind of swaying a little bit, and I'm a big guy, so like pretty stiff winds.
Yeah, a lot of wind resistance too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
not much aerodynamic. On my head.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm driving home, get 2 hours home, and here in Texas we have these things called 75 mile per hour zones. Right? Like you could drive 75 is the speed limit. So I'm going 80, which is, and I'm the slow one, So driving 80 down the highway and I feel what I think is a wind gust. I'm like, it's a big one. It doesn't move me, but I can like feel it on the steering wheel. Like I kind of do, I maybe move a few inches to the right. And then it happens again a few seconds later. And then my back tire completely explodes.
Oh no.
It doesn't go flat, doesn't get a nail in it, like rips off of the rim. And there's only like shreds of tire left on the rim. The rest of the tire is completely off while going 80 miles an hour.
What happened? How'd you survive?
I pulled over to the side of the road, in the middle of nowhere. I'm by Waco, where they have Shiplap and cult murders, that town.
Yeah.
So I'm right by there, but kind of a few minutes out of town. So I'm in the middle of nowhere. Pull over the side, like I like because I'm swerving and going fast, like I'm swerving like into other, yeah. like I'm trying to go straight. I'm a, you know, pretty good driver, but still swerving because I don't have a wheel. So
yeah, that makes it hard to drive.
You know, I'm glad there wasn't people around me. There were people behind me. They all saw what was going on. They all slowed down. So like everybody was safe. Right. Yeah. I pulled over to the side. Anthony, I'm going to give you one guess as to when I bought this tire that exploded. I'll give you a hint. It was in the shop for 3 weeks. When do you think I purchased that tire?
Oh, it was in the shop for 3 weeks. Did you buy it 3 weeks ago?
Like
three
I bought it day? 4 weeks ago. All I did on that tire was drive to Dallas. That's all I did. It was just a faulty tire, and it exploded, completely ripped off the rim. I don't understand. I can't do anything. No matter what I do, I finally had gotten over the fact that I was robbed. And yes. I'm driving up there to fix it. I don't have the time for this. I don't have the money for this. And then my new tire that I just bought explodes on the highway. And, this Prius is relatively new to me. I got it 2-3 years ago, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know if it has a spare. I have no idea. I've never needed a spare. My old car had a spare on the back of the car. Like, it was like, it wasn't a Jeep, it was a Subaru, but, you know, kind of how Jeeps have on the back, right? So I go to the back of the car, and I pull up the carpet, right?
I
look down, and I lift up this thing where I think the spare is going to be, and it's just like a big plastic thing of tools, and I'm like, this isn't a tire. And then I'm like, I wonder if I keep going. So I literally like rip out this plastic thing.
Yeah.
Rip out this plastic thing. And sure enough, there's one of those donut tires, right?
Okay, good.
Where I've never driven on a donut tire because every car I've owned in the past had a real spare, like an actual full tire, full rim, right? So I jack the car up, I change on the donut, I read about donuts, and they're like, you can only go 50 miles, and you can only go 50 miles an hour. I'm like, well, I'm like 70 miles away from home, and that's also where the nearest tire place is, because I'm between Waco and Bryan, which isn't a place, you know? There's no way. After the day I've just had, that I'm going 50 miles an hour. So I flew home on that donut going 75. I slowed down by 5 miles an hour, made it to Discount Tire, completely missed my work day, completely missed track practice. Went to Discount Tire. They were like, yeah, we're sorry. And they replaced that for free, but I still had to pay to get a new spare. So I'm legitimately out over $500 because I was robbed and had the worst 3 weeks possible.
Okay. I have a few questions and one comment. The first comment is, as someone who has recently had to drive on a highway with a donut, driving 50 miles an hour and having everyone pass you and having your blinky lights on, it's a particularly kind of emasculating feeling, at least for me. So good for you for just powering through. I respect that, you know?
I was like, one tire already exploded and I lived through that one. What's another one?
Yeah. So, you know, kudos to just go for it. This one, I'm kind of, you know, I like my brother's catalytic converter, like, busted. I know it's an expensive and important part, and I've been afraid to ask anyone this, but I'm going to do it in front of you and all of your audience. What's a catalytic converter?
I have learned more than I knew 3 weeks ago, but I still don't know.
You know, what does it do to make the car go? Other than making the car go, I don't know what it does.
Here's what I've been told, and here's what doesn't make sense to me, and here's where I'm going to join you, and everybody's going to make fun of me, which, if you make fun of me after what I just shared, you're a... I'll say jerk. I almost said something else.
That was a close save, man. That was...
I had the consonant formed in my mouth, and I stopped myself.
You were riding the donut at 70 miles an hour on that sentence. You barely made it back home.
I am still attempting with every ounce of my body to be a good person, and I am right on the edge, which I didn't even plan to do that. You just saw it happen. What I'm told, and this doesn't make any... This is what doesn't make sense to me. What I'm told is the catalytic converter, its primary job is to help with emissions so that we're not, you know, tearing up the ozone more than we already are, right?
Sure.
That's its job, which, okay, fine, but why did my car sound like it was a jet engine and also shake while driving it to the Toyota dealership? So apparently emissions are a way bigger deal than I thought. Pope Francis was right. We all need to go green.
Okay. Fair enough. Still confused, but okay, I got some information. And my second question is, why don't we start like booby-trapping catalytic converters. I think we should do this. I think you should be allowed to place like either barbed wire or an electrical charge or just small explosives. Like if cars exploded every time you tried to steal one, then I feel like they would be less stealing of catalytic converters. I think we should be able to booby trap catalytic converters in some sort of way. That might not be the most like Christian thing to do, but it's just, I keep thinking about this and I think we should be allowed to booby trap them in a way we deem fit.
I'm going to combine two Batman villains here. Are you ready for this?
Okay.
Because I'm going to agree with you.
Yeah.
And I'm going to agree with you by saying that we should absolutely do that like the Joker does, where it's like kind of silly, but also incredibly painful if you try to take my catalytic converter again, right?
Okay, yeah.
And a lot of people are saying, you know, like they're, you know, it's a common saying. It's like, I'm on the verge of like, you know, becoming the Joker, right? It's like when stuff like this happens, when everything's piling up and you're like, I can see how people get here, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to propose that I am currently Harvey Dent. Almost about to be Two-Face, where Harvey Dent was the beacon of light, and he was he was going to be the one that saved the city, not Batman, right? And then his life falls apart, and he definitely says the word that I wasn't going to say earlier. Like, I'm on the verge of that, you know?
I
am proud of myself for how I've handled this, but if anything else happens in the next 3 days, it might be it for me. This might be the last Catholic podcast I ever do.
This is your villain's origin story. It's your catalytic converter.
Absolutely. But so that's the most like, I don't know. It kind of shares about everything else that's going on. But like literally every day, Anthony, it's been something. No matter what hat I wear, it's like people have generally made up their mind about me. A lot of people like locally that get to know me tend to like me. A lot of people on the internet that meet me for one thing and they hear a little clip, they hate me, right? Like, and I've accepted this, right? But like even the people here, I'm just like, people have liked me for forever. So I'm not like becoming the bad Harvey Dent. Like I'm being a good person. And even then people are still mad at me. Everyone's mad at me. I don't understand what's going on. And like, so there's stuff happening to me, and yet I keep choosing to do things that, like, I'm having some health issues, and it took a month and a half for me to get, you know, a meeting with this specialist doctor. I finally get the meeting with the specialist. Everything goes swimmingly. It goes way better than I thought. It wasn't a fun meeting, but like there's you know, hope on the horizon. And then they're like, hey, we know this is the thing you need. Here's the thing you need. And of course, I go over to Walgreens, and they're like, insurance is like, ha! You think we're gonna pay for this, you idiot? it's just not going well. It's just not going well.
Mm-hmm.
We started track season. Every day, three of my athletes they're like, hey, I got hurt. It wasn't a track practice. They're like, you know, I slipped on a banana. Like the most comical. Like, we were supposed to have, you know, 30 kids go to the last track meet. We ended up with like 14, and it rained and was 40 degrees. So I was soaking wet in a hoodie at 40 degrees. I got sick. And that was, nothing's going well. And I don't understand. So this whole Catholicism and suffering thing, I'm trying my best, my guy. I'm doing everything I can. I'm uniting my suffering with Jesus. I'm still praying. I'm still a good person, but I'm almost not.
Yeah.
I need help.
I feel that. Well, I'm not going to give you help. I'm going to say something because there's this phrase that I've grown to really dislike as someone who helps people in the spiritual life. And that's that God won't give you more than you can handle. Something along those lines, right?
Uh-huh.
That's simply and objectively and provably not true. Like, God very often gives us more than we can handle. Because the idea is that, like, this could just, there's a lot of reasons this stuff could be happening to you. So I'm not saying that this is a one-to-one sort of thing. But kind of like the point is of life is to show us that we cannot handle it without Christ, right? So if you think that like you are going to survive the everyday sufferings of this world, some of them more intense than others, of course, that no, you're not. Like the point is to like realize kind of how empty you are. Because the phrase like God won't give you more than you can handle, that makes us feel like, okay, then there's something that I'm not good enough at. Like if I tried harder, if I had more faith, if I like clenched my fist more and went through this, then I'd be fine. And that's not really the case. The case is to go to this place where literally all you have is God's grace and you can't handle anything else, you know? It's kind of on par for where you're at. Like, it's like this kind of like struggling and trying to be a good person and just like barely holding on, even though it's a painful and difficult place to be, it's, you're not a bad person for being in that place. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm about to be, but not yet.
Yeah. right. You know, yeah. I think it's very rare that we suffer well. And even that phrase sometimes kind of bothers me, you know, suffer. Are you suffering well? It's like, are you minding your own business? Why would you ask me that? A priest asked me that one day.
Does your pain feel good? No, it doesn't.
No, it's just pain, actually. You know? And some days, if all we do is not become the Joker, then that's actually pretty good. So I'm praying you don't become the Joker.
That's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
So you're frozen.
Now, am I still frozen? Oh, my internet connection is unstable, apparently.
You're not frozen anymore, but you are very slowly doing the dance you're doing, which is funny.
I am. Yeah. Okay, cool.
So even as we're trying to solve these problems, we're having internet issues. My life is great. So I'm going to close this segment with this. You ready for this? I have one question for you.
All right.
How are you doing?
Oh, my goodness. I do not know how to answer that question.
All right, we'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. As you may know, Forte Catholic is a nonprofit organization. Our goal here is to share the joy of the gospel with as many people as we can, both here on the show, in helping produce other great Catholic podcasts that reach millions of people, and also with our in-person events. All of that is subsidized by the donations of people just like you. ForteCatholic.com/donate is how you can set up to become one of our monthly donors, which is like kind of the bedrock of what we do. Because of that, myself and Sarah are able to do the work that we do each and every week. Essentially, all three of those pillars. You as the donors are half of the money that comes in to this organization so that we can keep doing this. Also, if you would like to give a one-time donation, it helps with stuff like, you know, we upgraded the computers a few months ago, about a year ago. One-time donations help as well. ForteCatholic.com/donate. Because we are a nonprofit, it'll help with tax season next year. I know a lot of you, like me, are probably delaying doing your taxes now. But, you know, all those donations go towards next year's taxes. We send you a nice little donation receipt at the end of the year. So thank you to our current donors, and thank you to all of you who are considering and will prayerfully decide whether or not you would like to support the work that we are doing here. Thanks. Enjoy the rest of the show. Welcome back to Forte Catholic. I'm Taylor Schroll, and that is Father Anthony. We're both doing great, everybody. We're both doing great.
Love it.
We are going to play a new game today, Padre. A brand new game. I often test games out with you the first time because you're usually the one that's like most down to look stupid. So
that's a whole sentence right there. There's a lot to that. Anyway,
it
cool.
comes so naturally to you.
okay.
All right, we're gonna play a game called the Scale Game, and that has nothing to do with my tubby belly. It just has to do with the way the game works. So I saw this game on the old TikTok. I've stolen a couple of games, some of our more recent games from the old TikTok, because, you know, they tend to get a lot of views, and I want to get 8 instead of 5 over on our YouTube channel. So it's called the Scale Game, and essentially you and I are going to make it Catholic. So how it works is you're going to pick a word, and I'm going to try to guess that word, and you're going to pick a Catholic word. Like, if you picked communion, I would just start guessing. If you picked Eucharist, right?
Okay.
I would just start guessing words, and I would say things like transubstantiation, and you'd be like, that's actually pretty close. That would be a 90. So the further away from the scale, or the further away from the thing, the lower it's going to be on a 0 to 100 scale. So if I say something like a necklace, you'd be like, I don't know, 4, because necklaces are still Catholic, but it has nothing to do with communion, unless it's like Eucharist necklace or whatever, right? So the further away that I am from the word, you're going to say, you know, and anywhere on a scale from 0 to 100. As I get closer, obviously, I'm going to start knowing what the word is a little bit more, and I'll ultimately try to guess the word. Does this make sense to you?
It makes sense to me.
Okay. I am going to pick a word, and you are going to try to guess that. And I have picked my word now.
Okay. Jesus.
Oh, I'm going to give you a hint even with the number that I'm going to use. 66.
Okay. Crucifixion.
Less. 40.
Good Friday.
Also 40.
Okay. Jesus, blah, 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 blah. Incarnation.
30. You're getting
okay.
Worse.
Okay, how is Jesus there? And then let's do blah, 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 Mary.
Zero. One.
I'm getting, why am I so bad at this game? Why is 66?
I've never seen anyone on this game go lower.
Yeah, did Jesus order the death of all the Jedi? I didn't realize it. Why is 66 a hint? I don't get it.
Anakin was the chosen one, as was Jesus. So. Anakin okay. is if Jesus turned into the Joker.
Yes, I guess. I'm not... Okay. Lent.
Five. I need you to think. You were so close on your first answer. I almost gave you a 90 on the first answer, but I gave you a hint in the number that I gave you, and I need you to think about percentages.
Oh, Trinity?
100%, yes.
Wow, that was more complicated math than I was ready for, but yes.
I was going to give you a 33 because he's a one-third of the Trinity, but then right, I was like, too... but it's so close that I gave you an extra 33%, so very good at the end. Not very good at the beginning.
Okay.
All right, your turn.
Can be, okay, yes, I got one.
All right, baptism.
45.
Marriage.
55.
Priesthood.
65.
holy oils.
80.
The fancy word for making someone a priest, priest or bishop.
More like 60.
Okay. Holy oils was the highest one I've gotten so far.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Holy Week?
40.
Ah, dang. Holy oils. Anointing of the sick?
Ding, 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 ding.
Hey! That was quite a jump. That was a 35 point jump. Good for me.
Yeah. That's good. Nice. Right.
Okay. I have, let's see. What word am I going to pick? I am going to pick, okay, I have one.
Okay, mass.
25.
Church.
15.
Altar server.
Zero. One.
Oh, yikes. Oh, okay. Christmas.
30.
What's another Catholic? Jesus.
65.
Okay.
Big part of this.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, he did. That's a tough one. Like, there's not a lot of words. Yeah,
Jesus might be a rough answer because it could go any direction. It's like he's part right. of all of it, you know?
Yeah, right. Okay, so Jesus mass, we kind of like that. Funeral?
50.
Okay. Wedding?
Also 50, same kind of.
Okay.
Or do you?
Altar?
20.
Oh, yikes. Okay. Jesus mass was kind of like it. Okay, Eucharist?
25.
Not working good. But mass was higher than Eucharist, and Jesus was higher than that.
Jesus is the closest. The closer you get to directly at Mass. It's a low number. It's included, but not a big, not a right. not okay. a huge percentage of it.
Holy Spirit.
Also not there. 25.
Okay. Water.
No, 5.
Oh my gosh.
All right. I'm gonna help you out.
Okay, please.
We're now playing the Protestant version of this game.
Okay. the Protestant version of the game.
You're using very Catholic things, and this thing is very Bible. Catholic. Yes! Oh, wait. 95. You're literally halfway there.
Scripture.
No, 95 as well, but you're halfway there.
New Testament?
There you go. You have won the first round of the Protestant game. The Protestant
oh
game.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
I literally picked it because I didn't think you would include scripture as a Catholic word.
Nope, didn't even cross my mind.
All right, here we go. My turn.
Okay. All right. Ready.
Mary.
3.
I'm being Brick Tamlin and just picking things out that I can see.
That I see. Right behind you.
Apostles.
2.
Oh, that would hurt. I don't know where to go now. sacrament.
15.
Old Testament.
yeah, like 8.
Oh, man. I have no idea. I'm not even close. What are things that don't have to do with the apostles or the Old Testament?
I think this is definitely more general.
Okay.
So not like
general, you know, general absolution.
0.
0.
That's not even a Catholic word. That's fake.
Not on a plane if we're all dying.
That's true.
I hear that's, you know, I've gotten it before, but it wasn't on a plane. It's just a lazy priest that didn't want to hear confessions. Yeah,
exactly, that's what happens.
Oh, man, I'm floundering more than you did. Speaking of flounder, fish!
You know, 20.
Lent.
15.
Sunday obligation.
10. Think this is Catholic adjacent, so something that's around Catholicism, but not like super Catholic.
Okay. Me.
2.
I'm a 2? That hurts even on a 100 scale.
Yeah, right.
I might be a 2 out of 1 out of 10, but 2 out of 100 hurts. Catholic adjacent. Protestants.
You know, I mean, more than you, so let's do like 11.
Oh, man. I might need a hint. I'm floundering.
Okay. Think objects.
Object. Oh, cross.
10.
Bible.
12.
Oh, God. Necklace? I mentioned a necklace earlier. Yeah.
13. I don't know.
Oh, objects. A Christian object. The little staff the bishop holds. The shofar that the Protestants blow at. The Pentecostals blow at their services.
Like 16, I guess.
Organ. Piano. Guitar.
You're getting closer, but the numbers aren't going to reflect that. Yeah, 20.
We are bad at this game, is what I'm finding.
Yeah, this is so bad. Okay, objects in a church.
Objects in a church. Oh, pews.
25.
Altar. Altar.
You know what? 50.
Lectern. Ambo.
40.
Priest chair.
30.
Altar was the highest?
Mm-hmm.
Books?
20.
God, I am so... Candles.
100. Oh, no. It was candles. I was like, candles are on altars sometimes. I guess that's your best.
I didn't think anyone could be worse in this game than you in the last round, and I immediately
this is the only wrong. I think this might be the only time we have ever played a game where in any round you've been worse than me, and that makes me happy, actually.
that's not true in any round, but boy was and like yeah this we're both generally pretty good at this game. This might be This might be the worst we've ever done at this game, and I'm not sure if it's successful as a listening thing. We'll see what
I don't know either.
We'll see what everybody says. We'll do a few more, and then we'll come back and talk about something serious, which was actually kind of that kind of helped inspire this game, because we're going to talk about two Catholic words that I don't think anybody understands. You would be included. Cool. So, but whose turn is it? I'm so lost. It's your turn to guess.
Your turn. Yes.
Okay, so I'm going to pick a word. And that word has been picked. I have a word for it. It's okay. Actually two words, but yeah.
Okay. Bishop.
That's one word.
I know. I'll see how close it is.
30 or 40.
Okay. Lay person.
Five.
Okay. Altar rail.
Adjacent. 30, 40.
Okay. Jesus.
I mean,
Jesus Christ.
Jesus. I wasn't confused on which one. Oh, not just my lawn guy.
Not just Jesus.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I don't know. He's involved.
Okay, top Bible.
I'm going to give Jesus a one just because he's number one, but it's not going to help you with your guessing at all.
Yeah. Cool. Vestments?
Oh, yeah, like 80.
Okay.
Which might, you're close, but having an 80 might confuse you a little bit. But anyway, keep guessing.
Okay. I'm thinking about two words. I can't think of one. Sacristy.
Actual sacristy 20. Yeah. Having to do with sacristy 80. I know that's confusing, but it'll make sense someplace when I reveal it. Like, it's one of those things that'll either make sense or you'll be mad at me for how I'm giving these numbers.
Okay. So it has been sacristy, words, altar, getting ready for mass, blah 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 blah, sincture, alb.
Yeah, 80. I mean, same. Those are the same thing to me. Okay. I don't know the difference.
dang it! So it's okay. So it's something adjacent to.
Okay, I'm gonna give you a hint that will probably help quite a bit, because I this is the hardest words that I've picked. So
it's
100%. No, 100%. It is a sacristy, but it's not in the church.
Oh. My closet?
No, but you're on the right track. I don't want to talk about your closet.
A rectory? Is that
no, but it's a sacristy. The words you've gotten correct were sacristy and like vestments or alb, and you need this to do that to outside of the sacristy. Think youth ministry. Think retreats.
Oh my gosh. Retreats, sacristy.
Everything from the sacristy you need to be a priest on a retreat.
Okay, I get where you're going with that. That's fair.
It was the hardest one, but it's one of the only ones that I planned to say. Everything else, I was like, let's make this easy at the beginning. And then we floundered, so I was like, let's just do the one I planned and see what happens.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
let's do one more. This is painful. This is this game is going as well as my life.
Okay.
All right. Pick one last word, and we're gonna end on this one.
Okay, let's see if we can get one that's doable, but also not super easy.
Okay, you have your word. I'm going to guess reconciliation.
Yes. You know what?
That's not a number.
40. Sorry. 40. This is going to be outside the box. This is going to be something close to us.
Outside of the confessional box. Close to us.
Yes, this is something us related. But it's Catholic.
Like me and you, or us as individuals?
Me and you. So actually, I'll give that.
So clearly not reconciliation because you've refused to do that multiple times.
Well, 60. So I'll give you 60. Yeah.
Okay. Friendship?
70.
Oh, brotherhood?
40.
Oh, we can be friends, but not brothers. I understand. community.
Yeah, 65.
Parish potluck.
20.
that's your rating of them as well on a 20 to on a 0 to 100 scale.
Like pot unluck.
That joke was as bad as Escape.
that's why I'm okay with it.
The Christian living, like the third pillar of the catechism.
Yeah, 60.
Sin.
Um, 70.
Oh no.
It's two words.
Math kit.
No. Well, in a certain sense, 40, but no.
Sacrament O reconciliation. That's two words.
Yeah, no. Mercy reconciliation. That was like 60, yeah.
Conversation.
Oh, like 80? 85?
Oh. I don't know. We already said friendship and conversations. Podcasting?
90.
Catholic podcast? Words. Forte Catholic?
95. Forte Catholic!
That is so shameful. I've given my life to this thing, and I can't even figure it out in a freaking game. Oh, man. This game, I thought it was what I thought it was going to be. Was emblematic of, or I thought it was going to be fun and like a change of pace from the previous segment, but really it's just emblematic of how my life's going. Not only did the game not flop, completely flop, I can't even finish sentences, and your internet froze like 9 times, and you got a call from Susan at the parish office. This day is going great. Mm-hmm. So I have just one more question for you.
Yeah, hit me.
How's your day going?
I don't know.
Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. I hope your enjoyment level of that game was better than our skill level of that game. Yeah, that was quite the experiment. Let us know over on our social media what you think about that at Taylor Schroll on Instagram and Twitter, at Forte Catholic on Facebook and somewhere else. I don't even know anymore. It's been a day, as you've noticed. So enjoy the rest of the show. Follow us on socials. All the links are down in the description. We'd love to interact with you guys. Getting comments from y'all on our YouTube channel, on our Instagram, Twitter, really, really makes my day whenever I read those. So thank you guys and enjoy the rest of the show. Welcome back to Forte Catholic. I'm Taylor Schroll, and we will never find out how Father Anthony's doing. So
yeah.
Were you just punching yourself in the face or itching a itch?
Yes.
Okay, good. So we're going to end today's conversation with a conversation that you and I actually had on the phone the other day, because a pretty typical thing when my foundations class is happening is we get questions. Not only do we have like some actual Q&A sessions where we go through some stuff, but like just in the course of having small groups and like me and the other leader that lead this thing, we get questions pretty much every night from somebody, either about something that's, you know, from the topic, like maybe there was something confusing, or maybe there's some, or maybe it's just something that's been on their mind about Catholicism for a while. We really like answering these questions.
Yeah.
And I would say about once every 10-week session, I have to call you because I have questions that I was asked that I did not have a good answer to. So also one of the themes that ended up happening for me is a lot of people in the Foundations course that have been going through it have been saying like kind of this idea of like the more that you learn, the more you realize that you actually don't understand anything about Catholicism, right?
Yeah, so, yeah, yeah.
This is a topic that I thought I understood, and then somebody asked a question, and it completely broke me, and I don't think I understand it at all anymore. And, like, honestly, even after, like, our conversation on the phone helped, but I'm still broken, and we're going to try to fix me and either break or fix the audience today.
And I just want to note that, like, you know, you don't call Father Mike Schmitz for your questions. You call me, which I think is just an endorsement of my superior knowledge and teaching.
Yeah, absolutely. 100% that is my reason.
That's the only reason. Yep, yeah. I understand. So I just want to say that out loud because not everyone would realize that, but we do.
Thank you.
Good. All right.
I was on a podcast the other day, and they name-dropped Father Mike, and they felt like it was kind of one of those things where they were like hesitant to name drop him, and I literally stopped and I was like, I've never name dropped any connection I have with Father Mike, and he didn't get that it was a joke, and he thought I was like calling him out. Like, that's what I mean by nothing's going right in my life. Like, I was like, yes. It's pretty obvious that I've name dropped that I worked with Father Mike all year last year. I didn't keep it a secret. It's like the one thing going well in my life that's now over, you know. Anyway, that was kind of funny. So the question in question is about the accidents and substance of the Eucharist during and after consecration. So I have what I think. I'm feeling hoity-toity. I think I have some high-level questions about this. But before we get into my the things that broke me, just give us an overview of the substance and accidents, what that even means, because I would imagine some people have heard it and really know it. I would imagine some people have heard it and are like me, think they knew it, and they're about to find out that they don't. Or they've never heard these words before, other than the fact that almost everything that's been happening to me has no substance and is always an accident.
Yeah, so... this might not be the most precise philosophical definition, but they are terms, they're categories that help us understand the world around us. And as far as Catholics are concerned, we only use them for one thing, which is the Eucharist. So when we hear accidents, we think mistake. So you got to erase that from your mind. It has nothing to do with mistake. Accidents are kind of the observable properties of a thing. So a chair might be made of wood. It might have four legs. These are all the accidents of it. And all the accidents, the things that we can observe, things that we can see, point to what it really is. It's substance or essence. Sometimes people use that word. So what the thing really is in itself is its substance. And how we perceive it is its accidents. And most of the time, those things line up great. So like Taylor, you've got a face. Normally, you have a beard.
I do.
So some of those accents aren't necessarily essential to Taylor, but I can tell you're Taylor from the accents I observe, because that's how we see the world. We see the accents, and then we infer the substance from that you are Taylor, or that chair is a chair. We've seen enough accidents of chairs that we can categorize chairs and understand what a chair is. We have an idea of what chairness is. So that's it. So substance is the thing itself, and accidents are how we observe the thing.
Substance is like a chair is a chair because it's a chair and it has the essence of chair. Accidents is it has legs and wood and
that's made for sitting, yes? You know. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So here's there were two questions. The first one I think is I thought it was a silly question, and then it's kind of what started this barrel roll of me not understanding what's happening. Right. Mm-hmm. And the question was about people with celiac or need to eat gluten-free. Mm-hmm. I know that there's one thing we'll get out of the way real quick. I have always heard that there are gluten-free hosts that get consecrated. I've seen this before. I've literally seen this at the parishes I've been involved in, where they have gluten-free hosts, is what I've been told. And, you know, typically either the parish provides them or like the person who has celiac will like bring them up to Father in a Pyx. He'll consecrate them just like he consecrates the rest of them. And then he'll give them Jesus out of the Pyx. But you actually told me on our phone call that doesn't exist.
Yeah, that's one of my pet peeves. So in order for bread to be bread, so to consecrate the Eucharist, you need bread. And if there is no gluten in the thing, it's not bread. So those quote unquote gluten-free hosts are actually very low gluten hosts. So there is still gluten, even in your quote-unquote gluten-free host. You have to have gluten in it to consecrate it. And just a pet peeve of mine, and I know people don't do this on purpose, but sometimes people ask for a special host. And I'm like, trust me, all these hosts are very special.
Right.
Yeah, They're all special. Or they ask me for a gluten-free host. I don't have any of those. What I have are low-gluten hosts. That being said, I don't say that in the communion line. I just kind of like give them what they want. Right, I get it? Right. That's a pet peeve of mine. So technically,
can I have a special host? No. And then next.
Yeah, exactly. It's not pastoral.
Right.
me trying to be a good person. I'll turn to the Joker when someone asks for a special host. I'll just like flip out. No, oh okay, so gosh. They're all.
I'm about to turn into the Joker right now because we're trying to have a serious conversation. There's somebody mowing their lawn right outside my window. I'm going. I'm going insane. And you know what? Usually we pause. I don't have the time to pause. We're going to push through it, and the listeners are just going to freaking deal with it because I'm having to freaking deal with all this stuff all the time. So I swear they're in my living room.
Okay. I can't hear it coming through my headset for what that's worth. I don't know how that'll be.
Well, I don't either, but we'll find out. So.
Yes.
That takes care of the gluten-free stuff. But there was an argument that started down this trail of breaking my brain, where somebody said, "Well, if that's really Jesus, if that's you know truly Jesus, once he's consecrated, it was bread and wine, and now we say that it is truly you know body, blood, soul, and divinity. It is Jesus. So therefore, couldn't somebody with celiac eat the hosts because it's Jesus now and not bread? Like it's actually not bread." So shouldn't somebody with celiac be able to eat it just fine and not get sick?
Yeah, so that's going to help clarify this difference between substance and accidents really well because part of the accidents are like the molecules that make it up. So that sentence is both right and wrong. It's no longer bread. You can't call it bread because it really is Jesus. But under a microscope, it's bread. It has the properties of bread as far as taste, touch, molecular structure, all that remains the same. It just is Jesus. This is why it's a miracle. This is why it's a thing that does not make sense to reason. This is why it's divine revelation. It's not provable in an observable sense. You know, it's any way you were to break it down, it would be bread, except that we know it truly is Jesus. That's what makes it so crazy. So if you have celiac, you will have a reaction to the host. You will receive Jesus, but you will the accents, the aspects of it that are, you know, are the same as bread will still affect you. But you didn't receive bread, you received Jesus, though it still has all the accents of bread. That's, and if that can take a long time to digest because we normally don't think about things that way. Because most of the time, accidents and substance, they line up real good. You know, it's only in this weird, miraculous thing that happens at the consecration. So, yeah, you would still have a reaction to the host, even though you did receive Jesus and you did not receive bread.
And that's a lot to digest.
Yeah.
That's the only joke I'm proud of today.
Jesus is a lot to digest.
So, that's essentially the answer I gave, and I felt good about my answer. I didn't feel insufficient, my answer. Here's where I felt insufficient. Is because this was the primary conversation and some people left mad at me because they disagreed with me. And that's fine. I can handle that. I'm a big boy.
Yeah, people are allowed to be wrong. That's fine.
Do what?
People are allowed to be wrong.
Oh, absolutely. Not
that happens
me.
All the time.
Not me. No, I'm never wrong or
I'm
stubborn.
I'm right and stubborn. I'm not wrong and stubborn.
You're right. I was wrong. that was the one thing. I'm always right and yet stubborn about it. So... Because it was like a point of contention, anytime there's a point of contention, I think about it for hours and days after, right?
Of course.
So I'm driving home from this thing, and I'm like, oh, no. Because I'm thinking about the mass, and I'm thinking about, because I've even had questions before. Mm-hmm. I think you and I might have even talked about this years ago, where, and it's a pretty, another like typical question that I would get. And the typical question is also fine. I'm going to let you answer it. But it's the follow-up question to the typical question that really broke me. And it's a question that I had for myself. And I was like, oh, boy. So at what point in the consecration, at what point in the mass, is the bread and wine now Jesus?
Okay. Yeah. So it's after the words of consecration. So if I'm holding up a host, I don't want to mess up the words of consecration. I would say, take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you. As soon as I finish that sentence, the host is now Jesus. And then the wine stays wine until I finish the words of consecration. Do this in memory of me. As soon as I'm done, boom, that wine becomes Jesus.
Okay. That is different than the answer that I've heard before. I'm willing to accept it. So if you are murdered at that moment. Somebody walks into the mass and murders you at that moment. We can all go about our day and like come up to the altar and you know, the EMs and the deacons and the altar service can still give us communion and it would be Jesus.
Yeah, if I've done the consecration for both species, and species is just the difference between the bread and the wine. The words get really complicated when we start talking about this, but yeah. First of all, they shouldn't go up to the altar. Maybe the deacon could do that. Also, like, take care of my dead body. But anyway, yeah. That would be Jesus.
I am turning to the Joker. I find it darkly funny that you're murdered on the altar, and we're just like, I already sat through my obligation. I'm going to get this present at the end.
Just kick over my body.
No, I'd be respectful-ish. I wouldn't, I wouldn't kick you, but I'd still go out and be like, you know, this is why I'm here, my guy. You know, I wasn't here for your hobblies.
You know, I take that back. So definitely take care of the Eucharist before you take care of my dead body. That's fair, right?
Yeah.
I'm a little, anyway, yeah.
This came up when, I think I've told this story before, but I went to a parish called St. Stanislaus. Mm-hmm. You've actually been to this parish with me. It's the parish when we went to the men's retreat. Where we went into town. Mm-hmm. I think, we ended up going. So you had your mess kit, but I think we went to this church. Anyway, if you didn't, it's right down the road from where we were.
Okay.
So St. Stanislaus was murdered in the middle of mass, like during the consecration, and it left questions for what happened because we're like, essentially what I've heard, because maybe it's the same. So after you say, you hold up the host and you hold up the wine
chalice
or the chalice. Yeah. What is left in the Eucharistic prayer after that?
The rest of the prayer they're basically intercessions. They're basically asking God about certain things, praising him for certain things. You need to complete that to complete the mass. Right. So that's the thing. Like the mass has to be completed. You can't like leave the mass hanging even after the consecration. So if a priest dies even after consecration, you need to get another priest to like finish it. Like that's
your body's still there thing. And the associate pastor just walks in and keeps going.
Yeah. It's all messed up. Like it's very important for like mass to be a whole thing that happens and not to be broken up like that.
So here's what I've heard before.
Okay.
And maybe I'm wrong, but that the entire there wasn't a moment that it became Jesus. It took the whole prayer of consecration, the whole Eucharistic prayer, which would mean not just up to that moment, but also the stuff after, like, which also confused me when I heard that because of what you just said. So like, that's the answer I've heard, but because of what you just said, when you're like, this is my body, I would that's the time that I assumed that it was right. But I had heard before, and maybe it's wrong, that like if you were murdered after you said that, but still during the Eucharistic prayer, that it actually wasn't fully consecrated yet. So I don't know.
Yeah, so it's not fully mass. It's definitely fully consecrated. And that's one of those things that like, for example, someone was asking me in my RCIA, OCIA class, like how late can you be to mass and still have it count for mass? And like the traditional, I don't know exactly where this comes from, but they'll say you have to be there for the gospel, right? And then that counts for mass. I don't like drawing those lines because when you start drawing like lines like that, mass becomes like mechanical, almost like this procedural thing instead of a prayer, instead of worship, right? So there is a way to technically break down the mass and get really precise with things, but that can be a dangerous way of thinking. It can sometimes be helpful, but sometimes it can be kind of dangerous, right? So that's a caveat, but so mass has not finished and mass needs to be finished to complete the whole holy sacrifice of the mass. But a part of the holy sacrifice of the mass is this part called the consecration. Mm-hmm. So you haven't completed the holy sacrifice, but you have completed the consecration. So if that makes sense.
That makes sense too, because that's where the bells ring. Like literally as a kid, that's what I assumed is what you're saying is what I assumed. And then at some point somebody corrected me and I guess incorrectly, but that was... Yeah, it's like, oh, Jesus is here. That's why there's bells. Like, whether that makes sense or not, that's just always what connected in my head. I do have my final question, but something that you just said made me have another question, and I can't remember what it is. Oh, it wasn't a question. It was a comment before my final question.
Oh, good, of course,
The comment is, I can't stand when people, this kind of conversation is fun for me. I can't stand when people have the conversation about how late can I be to mass. Not because I'm mad that they're late, but because I'm not mad at them. I'm not mad at the late people. I'm mad at anybody that's ever answered that question. And I'll tell you why I'm mad at anybody that's ever asked that question. It's because I became, I got installed as a Eucharistic minister, and me and actually the person who leads foundations with me, we were the campus minister for years together. We would take seniors who were students at the school, and we would go minister to the old folks' home, right? And we would bring hosts to them because they were elderly and could not make it to mass. And depending on their situation, if they had time and they were coherent, we would do, there's like a little mini liturgy thing, right? Where we'd like, hey, we'll read the readings for the day for you. Then there's like a prayer that we're supposed to say. Obviously it's already consecrated, but there's like a prayer we're supposed to say. We say the Our Father together and then we give it to them. It's been a few years now, but I don't remember every step of it, but we followed the step. Like we followed the letter of the law, right?
The gist of it.
But there were also people who like were sick or tired or, could barely sit up. And like we would go in there and like I would say the Our Father and then I would just say the body of Christ. Yeah. And like that was fine, right? So don't give me this crap like you need to be there by the second reading because they got to receive Jesus and they didn't go to mass at all. So leave me alone. It drives me nuts.
I totally get that. There is the obligation. Sunday obligation is not to receive the Eucharist; it's to be at Mass. So it's important to be at Mass. And instead of like drawing a line of like
for how
everyone's
long,
everyone's late sometimes. It's just like ask yourself: was I at Mass or was I not? And if you like kind of pause for too long, then maybe you weren't. If you showed up during the consecration, like this, But anyway,
The real question for me is: I'm usually not late, but was I at Mass? Is always a fair question when I sit there for an hour.
That's different aspects of that. Yeah,
you did sometimes make me feel bad, even though I'm not. Yeah, exactly. All right, here's my final question. Here's what really broke me. What really broke me was the Eucharistic prayer itself. Two parts of it: one that you, as the priest, say, and one that I guess technically we all say, but we sing it. So. No matter where people want to argue, if it's the whole consecration or at the moment, where the bells ring and you hold up the, none of that matters for this part of the conversation, right? Okay. Fun little debate to have. Great. Right. None of that matters for this because I am talking now about when we are receiving communion. And yes, these are in the Eucharistic prayers, but it's talking about literally us receiving the body and blood of Christ, that the things that used to be bread and wine. Right. So, one of them is a thing that we have all sung multiple times. When we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim your death, O Lord, until you come again. We've all said that, right?
Yes.
I don't like it. I like singing it. It's very fun. I don't like that it says, when we eat this bread and drink this cup, because every Eucharistic teaching and everything you said is telling me that it's no longer bread, it's Jesus. And then the Mass itself says, you're going to eat this bread. There's one more. I'm going to let you answer, but I'm because essentially they're the same thing. But you say, therefore, O Lord, blah, 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 nobody listens to this part anyway. This pure victim, this holy victim, this spotless victim, the holy bread of eternal life and the chalice of everlasting salvation. So again, it doesn't say wine, but it does say holy bread of eternal life. It's confusing, man. It's confusing. Yeah. Everything that the church says it's no longer bread. It's Jesus. And then the church itself says, yeah, but you're going to eat this bread, though. So explain that to me.
Yeah, so this is more of a matter of language, not of theology and how we use language, right? Because even in that, it's the memorial acclamation that we say right after consecration, when we eat this bread and drink this cup. Taylor, do you ever drink a cup?
I tried once. It was very painful.
Right? Yeah. You can't drink a cup. I mean, if you tried really hard, you could chew a cup. right? If you put it into some sort of like high-powered blender.
I could melt it and very much hurt my esophagus. I could melt this cup down and drink it, yes.
Exactly.
But I have not done it. You're correct.
Yes. In the same way, the chalice of everlasting salvation, we don't consecrate chalices, but we're using those words. It's almost like, Lord of the Rings?
Where, I've heard of it.
Yeah. When it's the Council of Elrond, and Frodo's like, I'm going to bring the ring to Mordor. And like Aragorn's like, you have my sword. He doesn't just give Frodo the sword and walk away, right?
Bye! Good luck! Like,
it's not
Bilbo
literal.
Trying to sword. Wield that sword is a funny mental image.
It is, right?
It's taller like, than he
imagine,
is.
Like, they just drop off a sword, here's a bow, here's an axe. You can't use any of them, but I'm out. Like that's
He dies know. 8 feet out of the council.
From exhaustion, because he can't hold them, right? It's... He trips and falls on the axe. Okay, so that's language saying, like, when he says, you have my sword, he's saying, you have my strength. My whole person, right, is symbolized in this sword. The sword says something about me. It's not all about me, because I am more than just a sword, but it's telling you something about what he's offering him, which is his whole self. That's kind of the same thing we're doing here, in the sense that the chalice, it doesn't mean it literally. Bread doesn't mean it literally. It's another... almost like poetic phrase for what we're talking about, which is the Eucharist. So it's not saying a thing literally in that sense. Bread, and it, even like the bread of eternal life, it's another title, it's another way to talk about the Eucharist. And that's kind of how we've talked about the Eucharist for most of history. It's only once we started building Catholic universities in the Middle Ages and had the time to actually, like, let's break this down and really think about this, because some people were getting confused. Before, it was like, you know, it's bread, but it's Jesus. And there wasn't that much concern about breaking it apart, because they were too worried about other theological questions.
So what you're saying is lay people learning is the problem.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they should learn less. Just chill. Here. Take this host. Go away. Don't think about it. Alpha,
it's,
who it, needs
it's
it?
It's special. It's special.
Yeah,
see you later.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So that's all that means. So that's one of the dangers in, like, sometimes we get this very kind of Western, let's break it down, let's be very scientific about it. And that can be helpful to an extent, but also can be harmful. Like, this is about, you know, we're talking about something you love. You don't always break it down into technicalities. You talk about it poetically. And so we're talking about the Eucharist poetically in those phrases.
Yeah. The thing that helped me the most was our conversation, but then also looking at this thing that I had a problem with during our conversation. You were talking about the, like Jesus is the bread of life. He's the bread of life all the time. Not at Mass, not at Mass. He's like, it's just a title, right? So that was helpful.
Yes, exactly.
And so I went back and I looked at this after our conversation. Mm-hmm. And both of these times where it says, when we eat this bread and drink this cup, the thing that I cannot hear that I can see is that bread is capitalized. Which, like, if it was physically bread, and that's what they were talking about, it would not be capitalized.
Yeah.
The opposite. Mm-hmm. The same thing later when you say the holy bread of eternal life, bread has a capital B. I can't hear capital B's, right? Unless it's Cardi B, and then I know it's capital. But that was helpful because it was like, you know, it's something that you were saying, and then I could look back at this thing that I was having complications with and be like, oh, that makes sense. The other thing that you said in our phone call that really helped me was about when you were talking about the universities. The universities happened more recently in our history, but its correlation to when this Mass was written.
So we've had, you know, Mass for much longer than we've had the words of transubstantiation and stuff. That comes much later. You know, before we were like just like they, you know, you have Justin Martyr saying this is Jesus now. He doesn't say, you know, this is his body. He doesn't say these are substance and accidents. We were just doing the thing. And this is actually how a lot of Christian theology comes about. Like, before we had a theology about purgatory, we were praying for the dead. It's just what we're doing in our worship, right? And then you're like, okay, wait, if we're praying for the dead, this is just what we've always done. This is what the apostles did. This is what we do. Then what does that mean? How can you pray for the dead? Then you have the theology of purgatory. It comes from that. Same thing with the Mass. A lot of our theology comes from examining what has been passed down to us and what we've always done. Before, it's only when we had time to settle down and build universities that we're like, okay, let's think about this a little in a deeper sort of way, that we have all that precision about transubstantiation. And even that is only one way of talking about a mystery that ultimately we cannot comprehend. So even if we understand substance and accidents and transubstantiation, don't be fooled into thinking that you completely understand the Eucharist, because you don't, because you can't, because this is miraculous. This is divine revelation. This is something that we can only take guesses and hints at. We can say what it's not for sure, but we can't fully understand this mystery other than that this is a gift from God and it's Jesus.
Yeah. It's a great way to end. Yeah, that was helpful, because I was like, oh yeah, the Mass was written about 1,000 years before Thomas Aquinas started talking about, you know, these terms that we now know of accidence and substance.
And it was said long before it was written. You know, the people were just saying Mass before it was written down. Right, and it was like, you know, yeah.
So that's great. All right. I think this is a good way to end. We had a weird show, but it ended well. I really liked that conversation. I liked how you closed there, because it was one of those things that's like, I knew enough to understand and trust that it was Jesus, and then I had questions about the technical stuff, and then you helped fix those, and now I'm like, I understand enough to be like, I understand enough to where I believe that it is Jesus 9 out of the 10 times that I go to Mass. And the 10th time, I'm like, for real? And then I go back the next week and everything's fine, you know? So that's where we're at. So,
not bad. Yeah.
All right. Well, we did a show. I'm not gonna get into any superlative or negative, but we accomplished a show today. I'm Taylor Schroll. I'll be back next week. That's Father Anthony Schroff. He'll be back in a month. See ya. Thank you for watching and listening today. I hope that you enjoyed it. If you did, make sure that you hit subscribe, especially on our YouTube channel. Our YouTube channel is growing. We are right at the threshold of meeting some of our watch hour goals. So if you haven't subscribed yet, youtube.com/ForteCatholic. If you like listening to the show but wouldn't mind watching it, or even just having it on in the background, it would be very, very helpful for us as we try to meet this first threshold of our watch hour goals over on YouTube. You know, just hit play on a playlist and walk away. Maybe like it, maybe listen to it. You know, it does really matter, but just interacting with the channel helps out. So yeah, until next week, love you.